Requested through my office copies of the minutes, but I haven't received them for some peculiar reason. But secondly, Chair, if you will allow me, I have to just leave the committee at about 11:45 until probably 1:30. And I don't know how long the committee will sit, but please, it will. It's not. I'm called to another meeting at that stage, and it's a party responsibility. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments on the minutes? On our side?
Thank you, Chairperson. You referred to the minutes as being reworked. I particularly raised a concern on page 5 under 6.1, which was debated for a short while and then no resolution was reached. But I note that my concern, that I, in fact, a committee concern, is still not captured under the deliberations and recommendations. So does this mean that it has actually been reworked and it's not going to be captured, or that we will certainly entertain the suggestion that I made? Thank you.
I requested the committee staff to go back and to record and rework the last item. That's what they came with. I didn't read or follow the task with myself. They just went back and worked in this manner. It is not kept up as we're saying it. It might be that they were not stayed as we're saying during the meeting. Homer?
Thank you, President. During that meeting, there was a number of discussions that concerning the committee. So if another problem of like to capture everything that I don't know the decision of going to the attention.
Chair, this is they are. One doesn't expect it to be a blow-by-blow account of the meeting. But this minute does not reflect the very strong concern that this committee had about the what the field board has revealed about the SABC. And I think that it makes it look like it's just sort of this board meeting, you know, boring old meeting. I think we need to actually emphasize that we exclude this plan at a state of schools of the SABC.
Thank you, Honorable Mosler.
You know, I don't think at this stage we should be dealing with the in this manner for two solid weeks. I think we are repeating what she said last time. And then the explanation that has been given to us by Tim Good, to me, is very vague. Have your staff reworked means or haven't. And they also, it is amazing that the committee members, they always want their utterances to appear on the minutes as they are. Maybe it's a matter of English. Can the subject ask whether they have you correct accordingly how you spoke to them and how you instructed them to do that? We have been doing this process, working on minutes for every meeting that we meet, on the same minutes, by the way.
Honorable Tom.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. And Chairperson, I'll go on the way that has been used by Honorable Bruce to what it. I would like to make a humble request that all of us will accept that we are not going to be voted as we wish. And I would like to move with the writer that says this is a true reflection of our discussions, and I would like to know, and I'm sure you're satisfied that you can proceed with the meeting.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I'll take it that we correct the heading. The heading to be heading COO, and then Honorable Soma and Hamdi, they were moving for acceptance for the part which was supposed to be the work. Agreed? In fact, I've got only two members who said yes, move a second and agree. So, shaking of heads and other things don't come for the nine. Honorable Groto?
Yes, Chairperson, I have great concern when I made my part was a comment. But I am not going to concur with my colleagues until I get a response from you whether they have a response. If they have Chairperson, and to us it appears to the true reflection, then I will second what my two colleagues said. But Chairperson, when you conduct your meeting, can you please follow up on what they said?
Thank you. Thank you. And Goma?
Yes, Chairman. Thank you, Chairperson. Honourable members, the minutes have been presented. They are different from the minutes of the photo that was presented to the committee. Thank you very much.
Honourable.
Sorry, I'm sorry. I would compare with my two colleagues.
Thank you. Honorable Chair.
Chair, will the Minister of the Meeting please record that the DA does not accept the minutes of the meeting of February the 4th as being a true reflection of the discussion about the SABD schools audit?
That will be noted. Honorable Chair.
Please, can you also record my objection to that? Okay, and then secondly, I just wanted to make a comment, and that is that we really have, I agree with Honourable Moratua that we can't devote such a lot of time, but then the standard of our minutes should be proved significant. And yes, it may be the end of the term, but if we agree to minutes that is substandard, then it makes it very difficult, and therefore I would not like to support the minutes, to agree to them again.
Thank you very much. I want to point to the comment. I expect that you had the minutes agreed upon the concern or the unacceptance by both COP and DA, which is nothing. Thank you very much. We are moving to the next item. We'll be dealing with minutes of the 11th, probably tomorrow. Board members that didn't have an opportunity. Honorable Mr. Brocken, everyone point your hands up. Oh, okay. Thanks very much. We'll deal with the minutes of the 11th February tomorrow. They are ready. They'll be circulated during the course of this meeting so that members can go through them. We're going to our second item, which is the presentation of the topic report by the Minister of Communication, emanating from the meeting we had last week on the issue of climate change, which was supposed to be focused on. Minister, it's your report, your progress report. We are on you.
Thank you very much. The Deputy Minister and I will deal with the respective sections of this report in the first instance, providing an overview. It's the same sense of art on Thursday afternoon, but presumably members have got copies, but there's a slide presentation on the screen as well. The slide essentially is what we agreed to do on the 20th of August, and record that on the 5th of November we did report to you. This presentation deals mainly with issues from the 5th of November onwards, but obviously some of these issues are going to be on the agenda for a while to come, presumably till the end of 2014-2019 term. We said that we are providing a foundation. There's no miracles there, no magic wand. We can do what we can up to the elections and in the next 5-year term. Both the committee and the ministry and department will engage in their respective roles to improve the situation. Now, including a more effective DOC, on slide 3, we did in fact fund the 3 DDGs. In fact, the 2 new DDGs are here. Can you go in, Bogeno? Bogeno Makoti, you know, he's been promoted. Where is he? Some chief director of the DDG. Then there's Aniva Puri in the front benches. Many of you may know her. She's been in the parliamentary circle since 1996. And a former chief director in DTI and Cochrane. And then Nico Ngobeni comes to us as the final DDG. We've also got the CFO. I think the CFO is here. Is that right? He's not here. And then the chief director, human resources, the chief director, internal audit and risk. So all the strategic positions are filled. I was informed yesterday 10 more positions have been processed, interviews have been done. And the documentation is on its way to the ministry, the DMNR, and we will finalize that as soon as we get it. So in fact, we've more or less done everything we said we would do. And then a total of non-SMS 58 positions were advertised, and the interviews, I mean, Sam Delacazzi can give you a continued report on there. So if you turn to slide, the numbering is up here, slide 4, you will see that the migration is complete. In the sense of the departments that everything, I have to send out 60 letters, which I hope to do by Monday to all the staff concerned. Integrated action plan, you might want to ask more about that, based on the audit general report that's being activated. And we also have an operations committee for your business. If you look at slide 5, this is an ongoing project. We said on the 20th of August, it's an extremely fractured sector. There are huge profit issues here in multi-billion dollar industry. There are fights on market audiences. You can't be naive, but even though we have these differences, we can at least have a framework within which we have our differences. And it seems to be quite difficult to do. But we look at how much we've done in terms of at least meeting organizations, individuals. According to the minister's piece, it's 191 organizations and individuals since 12th of July. So we've met a large range of stakeholders. Nobody can claim we're inaccessible to them. This excludes the people the DM met. They would be at least 40 or more that the DM staff met. So, you know, just touch me now, we haven't included that. There's one ministry with 2 offices. Then we turn to slide 6, I think it is. The numbering is up here, 6. On the Brooklyn policy, Peter says, was adopted by Cabinet for South Africa Connect on the 4th of December. It was gazetted on the 6th of December. A copy is enclosed. You've got a copy of a slide presentation, which we can take you through if you want, today or tomorrow. And you've also got an executive summary of the broadband strategy. plan and policy. You also have the full one, the one that's gazetted, all of which was sent to your office on Thursday afternoon. What has happened since then? The Interdepartmental Steering Committee has been activated. Since the scene is far more alive now than it was before, it will meet within the next 3 weeks. At early March is the date set for the next meeting. We are appointing a broadband council, and here the DM will report on this. It's a very significant project. It's the DM that's responsible for this, not the minister. But in fact, since we have launched the broadband policy, you will see, when you take through it, because you want precisely, we said that the public sector, schools in particular, but also clinics and hospitals, will provide the impetus for South Africa to make a broadband strategy and policy. And this thing, 565 schools have been connected since the 4th of December, got that decision, but again, we'll take you through the relevant slide. Hand over to Ashish Jim Spectrum. She'll deal with this area.
Thank you, Minister, and good morning to all honourable members and observers in the committee. On Spectrum Say, you will recall that we commissioned a study in terms of a digital dividend. The instructions to finalize, we're waiting on the process of entering that to publish that. But having noticed here that in the past years, what we have done was to focus more on the economic side of the spectrum. Now we are saying it's high time that you also pay more attention on the security aspect. And as a result of that, we are now engaging, before we publish the study, engaging with the security aspect department on what implications will be there on security of the country if some decisions are taken. Therefore, we are still embarking on that process, and then after that, we will be publishing the study. We will come back to you as soon as we know the date. Again, we have to ensure to the fact that we align the broadband spectrum policy to the broadband policy, because as much as we are saying we want to explore different models, there is the open access model that we are exploring also. But we are saying for us to be able to say this is the road that we'll be taking, we need to make sure that the broadband policy does not do what is supposed to be done on the spectrum side or different from what has been done. We must know that at least we're singing from the same hymn book. I will then hand over to Minister before I get into other delegations. Thank you.
Thanks. On the transparent pricing policy, we reported on this. It's really, the reason we didn't introduce it is because it was actually what the council said about mobile termination rates, and we didn't want to clutter the agenda. They reported last week, and I think we must go ahead now in the next month or so to release that. On the pricing workshop, we reported on it already. The outcomes, of course, will be incorporated in our plans for the next 14-15. We've reported on slide 9 already, except to say there's a change now since last week. I think everybody knows that ICASA decided to defer the implementation of the mobile termination rate until possibly the 1st of May, based on the MTN challenge in court. That was presumably to encourage a more consensual environment. Obviously, we don't decide these things, and presumably it's based on legal advice that it might be a better way to deal with matter. Slide 10, I think you'll be aware of this from our statements in the public domain already. The infrastructure for GDT is there. Since they've gone very well, it said it'll do 84% by March, it's already at 83.7%. The program around GDT, public awareness, continues, although this will escalate once the impasse over the digital migration policy is overcome. On the set-top box matter, I think you're aware that Cabinet adopted the policy on the 4th of December. We gave you the amendments that were presented. They said to be there, and we can present if you want a fuller account of what we'll be doing. But basically, you'll see in slide 3, I think the policy states the broadcaster is not free to choose whether they want to use control or not. You will remember that was the bone of contention, and the ECB court judgment said that it's decided. So now they can't come to an agreement. And, you know, my predecessor and I tried our little bit to get them to agree, but now there's no prospect they're going to agree. So we facilitated the process we discussed with you, and the facilitator reached an impasse in the middle of October. And from the middle of October to late November, we negotiated with DTI and other economic ministers on a collective approach, and finally the collective approach was that we should get a cabinet, and the people on the top of the chamber was say, okay, let them choose whether they want to use control or not. Nobody's supposed to do it. But those who want to use it will have to compensate the government for its use, and we bring for a control system in the box primarily for industrial policy reasons. Issue of standards having to change, you know, how long that takes. Issue of possible legal action if you drop control from the box itself. The issue of protecting our local industry, within which we can't protect our emerging manufacturers by any means. And finally, the concern that we'll be challenged by manufacturers and so on. So we were driven by legal action on both sides. And it's not as if we shaped policy. The policies are there. They were there. The majority party in Polokwane constantly told. It's certainly there as a guideline in the Mongolian policy conference, where it says in two very explicit formulations that you have to encourage competition in the pay TV sector. Now, obviously, we are naive. We don't have a reckless approach. We got legal opinion consistently, not least from a senior counsel 3 weeks ago, that the ECB court judgments of December 2012 simply said that it's not for the department, not for the minister, to decide who the bidder or the supplier of the control system should be, what the form of the control system should be, how it should be operated, who should manage it, and so on. But it does not say you can't have a policy. Our policy is not prescriptive. It's open. Those who want to use it can use it. Those who want to use it don't have to use it. And those who use it will have to pay for it. And we work on this with DTI. And if you want more input on that, we're certainly happy to provide it. However, there's still no consensus. In other words, the government got a policy, and we debated it, and we received comments, and we've encouraged facilitation. We could, strictly speaking, go ahead and implement it, but we don't think that's a good idea. We think we should still try to bridge the gap. And facilitators are doing their best. Myself, I've got actively involved now in trying to have one-on-one with the parties concerned and say, look, let's come to an agreement in the interest of the country. We need to release spectrum, the sort of thing that the Deputy Minister said now. We need to ensure that the mobile operators don't use as an excuse the high cost of communication and say they don't have access to spectrum. They can't reach underserved and rural areas. We need to benefit the poor. This is not an issue about broadcast. This is really an issue about jobs. The manufacturing sector development strategy, which the committee is familiar with, visited on 14th September 2012. You have to pay it about $23,500. And we really need this. It's not a luxury. For economic growth reasons. You will see when we discuss broadband with you that if you have a 10% increase in broadband, you get growth rates of 1.3%. Studies show that seniors have relatively high growth rates are largely on ICT. The main theme in Davos this year was how the world is being reshaped through ICT, the digital economy, and a number of jobs is absorbed. We are getting left behind. The digital divide is not simply between the developing world and the developed world. It is also between those of us who are connected to our fancy cell phones and those of us who are not. Yet on the other hand, the cell phone has huge potential from that chairperson to create jobs, either in Kenya and Kenya and so on. Here we are talking about, if you have control, we will take you to court, and if you don't have control, we will take you to court, and government can't do this. The world is moving on. The world is moving on. Remember, we were last year with a very similar policy in December. 15 other countries have gone for the same hybrid model that we're opting for. And we are here, so stuck. So we are pleading with the stakeholders. We keep it open committee for another 3 to 4 weeks, and then government will have to decide what to do. But we do not want to proceed without more consensus. We want everybody to work together on this thing, like we need to work together on the National Development Plan. And if you look at our approach and you look at the NDP, it's consistent. Or the NDP talks about knowledge economy, of the importance of information society.
this number we are running is a similar model as ours, long since the channel. So we can talk more about that if you like, but the main thing is to help in any way the community can as well. To strike a consensus. I mean, we can't carry on like this. People can contribute their profits. They can continue to fight for market share. But surely there's a time there's a national interest. So I don't know what the government can do. We keep the doors open. I've been speaking to people yesterday afternoon, Saturday afternoon, Friday, Thursday. I'm actively involved now because the facilitation of the minister has to be a political settlement. So, you know, we're cheating with any ideas you have. Vote within this forum, so these things can't be spoken here in time. You've got ideas on how we can knock the heads of the party together and say, look, man, we cannot help the rights anymore. Please come to an agreement. So we're keeping them open. The negotiations, if I may report, are up and down. I get good reports on the one hand. There are several people negotiating. The facilitators are negotiating. My dog and the list against the DM, but I can cover it all the time. To some extent, senior business people are trying to pull things together. So we are very clear. We do not want to proceed unless we absolutely have to. Our main task is to get consensus. In the country's interest, we all have to work together. Also the GM on the school project, which she's leading.
Thank you, Chair. Just to add to what the Minister has said, what do we basically address bodies' response or cooperation in terms of ensuring that we do have the policies that we develop implemented effectively and for the benefit of the country? At some point, we'll be forced to take a decision as a department, or at the end of the day, whatever may be a success or failure for the project, we will take responsibility. Therefore, it is in our interest to ensure that everybody gets on board taking the interest of the country with him or her. On school connectivity, Honourable Members, you see on the slide, you know that in 2010, we had some money that was left over in Bangalore Grid that we were going to connect in a lady school, and the 1,650 schools were committed and identified for connection. And then once we realized that the decision that was taken then of just providing connectivity only without the access infrastructure was not a good one, we then reviewed that, and we informed you last year that we will be reviewing or developing a framework that to ensure that we provide end-to-end total solution. Then we have done that. Ever since we reported here, we have managed to connect about 765 schools from the 780 that was remaining for the 1,650 schools. And then what we also did was to say, well, connectivity does not only come to be implemented by the Department of Communications. In the sector, we also have our other entities and partners that make sure that through their affairs and obligations, they also pay their part. Then for those schools, we have about 6,841 that has been done through the operators and to the respect. And then after that 6,841, 4,900 have benefited from the ERA. You will recall that according to the Act, schools are entitled to a 50% discount from the operator. So we have ensured that at least that becomes implementable, because not most schools have benefited from that. That is why that we are still driving with ICASA to ensure that all operators that are involved in the school connectivity are adhere to. Out of the 565 schools that have connected since December, 268 have the end-to-end connectivity solution. I got a report from the DDG that a number of equipment has been delivered to other schools more than this. Just that now I'm not over the figure, but he's there, you can help me with it. And then a commitment that if you come much, the total 788 will be done. That means end-to-end total solution. Minister?
Yeah, I just think that that's gone further, in fact, even than I anticipated, really, when we reported in November. Now, I felt committed to this job is to oversight instead of asking the doctors. But this has been, you can attack us on anything, but here's a concrete delivery. If you want to go and check it, we could. Please, go and have a look at it. Do oversight if you want. But we would like a response. But from what we can see, this has been quite a significant achievement. I'm very struck once again, Chairperson. 565 schools over 6 to 8 weeks is really good. You want to go and check it, it's correct. I know elections are coming up, but if there's a space, we would really like a report back. On the floor, now here we have to admit, here things are not that good. We've been fair to ourselves. It's no use misleading you. You can't come to Parliament here and lie to ourselves. The worst thing is lying to ourselves, right? Not to use ourselves. And we are crunched when we discuss this on
twice now, I think Sangeeta would have said, and then Sakura Chairperson earlier still the strike, and maybe he, I don't know if he's on the spot, but look, we could make more progress. And we're not saying it's Sakura that's responsible, we're saying we, as the ministry, take accountability for it. There's been a bit more progress than proportionately between November and now. But we will admit it could be better. And personally, I must confess, I misunderstood. I didn't realize the stage in August that really what we're talking about are points of presence rather than post offices as such. I admit that that is my fault. I didn't understand the conceptual and practical differences which you do. And I misunderstood it and discovered through the department that no, it's a combination of things. There it is. We could do more. But we also have to accept that couple can't take the responsibility. We exercise oversight over them, the shareholder. You exercise oversight over the department. We could do better, but I think between now and then we need to look at what we can do as a ministry and department to help them. So we take responsibility. It's not good, it's not bad. It's mediocre. We want to do better. On the national address system, there's been some movement there. Within August and now, 3, 2, 6, 9, 10, 1 posts in the address were delivered. The first meeting was held on the 7th of 24th of the new structure, February, new concept paper. That meaning that, of course, the outcome is that matters. There has been reasonable progress in our view. On the shareholder complex, there's been progress. We finalized all of them, the 9 members. That now falls under the DM. We might want to ask more questions about that process. It's about finalizing the paperwork as I know it. 3 Centec board that falls under the DM have been appointed, 2 others have been appointed soon, the support board members have been appointed. The strike, this is last week, is largely ended. I'm told there's no more. But you have to link the strike to the structural problems the board is having. You can blame the current leadership. But there are all sorts of issues. The government subsidies have been withdrawn. There are historical legacy insights and other issues, and I tell you want to know more. In which case, between Sister Kani Pongina and the 2 ministers here, we will respond. On the FIU investigation, I think you know that this is on course. The President proclaimed it. On Usaka, we met the board on the 28th of January. The chairperson is here. You might want to ask anything. But as I understand it, the board agreed that the US, and we agree, we got legal advice from the Chief State Law Advisor, Mr. Kaas. Now that report is a draft report. It did not interview all the parties concerned. There was no legal basis on which we had subsequently instructed we could have taken any decision to urge the board to act on. We did, as we explained, try an informal negotiation process, was unsuccessful. Now we are seeking for the letter of law, and the further investigation will be finalized and the form will take. Hopefully within the 10 days or so. But the board itself, if you support here, she's here. You can check with her once this matter expedited. It's like a bit of an albatross around their neck. They want it sorted out and finalized. And I think there's no difference between the board and the ministry in this regard. Let's settle this matter because the term of the current administration is coming to an end. MP General Basel Lamisa wrote to the president to be directed to our ministry. And we must settle this thing. So we can do so much and no more, and we're waiting on the powers to decide on these issues, meaning the further forensic investigation people to finalize the terms of the further investigation. Board, as you know, rejected the findings of the draft, to the draft report. And so we obviously have to take further action in order to do it swiftly, and they agree. Then the quarterly reports we've sent out, what is this, SSC to live on. On the post bank, we've done the following things there. The list of potentials that have been submitted to the registrar. Final appointment of members to be done once this report is done. It takes many months. We approached the minister, and he says he has no control over this matter of finance. The registrar has the rules, and it's not that it can be done by him or by the executive. It will not be possible in terms of the law. So they have to go through the process. A cooperation agreement has been developed and approved by the board so far. The negotiations have begun, and the 481 million rand has been allocated, but obviously it's not adequate. The next slide deals with the National Integrated ICT Policy. Good news here. You're going to get a
in good joint here. Either today or tomorrow, we brought a slide. We'll give you a copy of the ICC Green Paper as you edited, an executive summary, and the slide presentation. We are having public hearings on the 3rd of March. Nationally, members of the committee have been invited. I think the select committee should also be invited. They have been invited. There will be 9 provincial hearings. Those 8 will be given to you within the next 10 days or so, so that those members belonging in those provinces where the hearings are held might want to attend them. We've extended the date for comments to the 24th of March. The National ICT Forum will follow the ending of the public hearing on broadcasting policy of community broadcast calls under the remit. Yes.
Thank you, Minister. Okay. Honourable members, you will recall that on some time last year, we did brief you that we have realized that it is now time that we track progress of what we have done ever since we issued this committee protesting. That in that tracking, what we were looking at is to identify the challenges and successes and unlearn what we did not or what did not assist us in terms of achieving our objectives when it comes to concept. And upon doing that, we had to develop a draft community broadcasting support strategy. Because as part of the challenges that we realized that the community broadcasters face, one of the issue of lack of support from our side was what we would do normally is to say, okay, you are a community broadcaster that is there. Ours is to provide you with infrastructure. But has that affected us in terms of achieving what we want to do? And so that is that these community broadcasters are the eyes and ears on the ground, are the ways that make us to be able to reach out there instead of being the native person between government, that affected everybody and the citizens of our country. I think we open them up to a kind of letting the big guys try to tempt them by offering big money in terms of even influencing the content. What have been the challenges there? Have they really lived up to our standards in terms of what that one can achieve? Then that community broadcasting support strategy seeks to address that. If you have receive the statement or you will not, we will try to certainly so that you also familiarize yourself then, because we will be publishing it for comment. From there, ladies and gentlemen, what we have done is to ensure that we provide, let's say, our existing policy. We provide infrastructure for community radio stations, as we said, the Lisbon community radio stations, the Vichela, Udogwa, and Palaboro. Then, on top of that, we make sure that other 7 more, between 2014 and 2015 in the second quarter, we also received the same support. That is Habazuni Radio, Shine FM, Aputalen Radio, Good News, Radio Casey, Daily FM, and Volta FM. Those are the list or the identified community radio stations that will receive access from us for financial aid through the second quarter. Therefore, we ask you, as you go around as honorable members in your constituencies, of course, you will receive the request for assistance on this matter. Please try to communicate that, but until that time that we get another funding, we'll be able to roll out more infrastructure for our community broadcasters. On the legislative program, honorable members, you will recall that we introduced bills to your town. One of those bills was the South African Post Office and the Post Bank Bill, which already has been enacted by the President. You will recall that you also adopted the ECA bill, and also the select committee from the NCOP did the same in February. The ICASA bill is expected to be adopted, and I'm sure by now it has been adopted by the select committee, although we have not received formal feedback. If terms was not, then it means it has been done, we're just awaiting feedback. We want to thank you for your continued support while we were introducing the bill. We came, we presented what we thought we have seen that would add value to ensuring that we deliver quality services. You made your changes because you are on the ground. You said no Department of Communications, please come down because this is the impact that it will have. Or please add this because it will help you to deliver quality services to our people. And as a department, we appreciate your support. Lastly, honorable members, you know that from the NDP, from our budget vote also, that year, we mentioned that we will be merging the East Girls Institute of Namibia. Therefore, it was left upon ourselves to ensure that we don't just merge the two institutions without proper objectives.
we have to make sure that we align that with what the NDP tells us what is needed from our country. Already we have universities that are very technical, but we still complain of the lack of a dedicated institution that will deal with ICT skills. We then said it is high time that we tell them to what is able to do without us introducing something new, but merging the two institutions to a thing that we are renaming them as IGAMBA Skills Institute. That is UNANISA and the skills part that we have in the department. Already we'll be launching on the 21st of February. We have issued an invite to all honorable members. Please join us so that when you go to your constituencies, you're able to encourage young people to get into the opportunity that you have presented. A funding of 15 million already has been transferred to NAMESA. We have ensured that we engage with all the 12 departments, as we all know that skills touch upon everybody. Therefore, it is every department has a responsibility to play in ensuring that they keep their members within government and outside up to date in terms of the skills that are required by the market. But ensure that we will partner with local universities. And currently, the skills program will be hosted by 6 provincial colleges to the universities that will segregate to you. Lastly, honorable note, I know I said lastly, but that's the final. We went today on behalf of the department. We believe that the minister has said that we have tried to deliver on what we committed to when we came or appeared for the committee. When we have not managed to raise the target, we have given no reason, and we hope that we will continue to say or provide leadership and guidance in terms of saying how can you help us to ensure that we reach more. We don't just say we said we targeted 15, if we have the capacity to do 20, let's go and extend that. And we say another 10 from the ANC perspective. We want to invite you to join us as a most South African forward. Thank you, sir.
One final thing. You had asked for a report on the SIU investigations into SAPC. Advocate Mulyu is here from the SIU to assist us. And Songile and Makofi will take you through the report when you want to. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the progress report. Remember, that is the progress report. But probably, maybe we must take one item or so and load it. Because if everyone is asked about everything, we might not be able to endorse everything. With the understanding that those items which are going to be left, we'll proceed to them tomorrow. As we proceed with the meeting. Thanks very much, Minister MD, and members saying they are covered. The report is quite comprehensive. We can attend our meeting, so there is no need to proceed tomorrow. So this meeting is adjourned. Oh, okay, sorry. I thought we were attending the meeting and going to allow it. Honourable Shin, Honourable Killian.
Chair, I want to know, we're going to decide what we're going to do now. Today we're going to talk about post office now and Uganda now and SABC tomorrow, or should we decide now what we're going to
tackle this?
What's
the reason on that? I thought that probably we can deal with post office because I think the CEO must go. It was a lot of work, so that if there is anything he can contribute. We can deal the SIU team of SADC because there is a person from SIU so that if we finish then they go. Probably we can deal the issue of physical migration. And then other issues, if time is still there, we can deal with. If it's acceptable by the two members, Honorable Roma.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. And let me
thank you,
Honorable Shin, for asking that question. I think it
will
be in order
the way you put it, Chair. Thank you. Let me see hand to end it. On the issue, yes, we'll deal with the post office, we'll deal with the SIU, SAGC, and the digital migration.
but we are on the course of it now. Reformer, I'm looking for a reformer, post office, staying in Tambi, Kilen, Honorable Kilen, and Honorable Mbosa. Reformer?
You're looking for questions regarding the post office, but you also said that the CEO should be, is going to leave soon, and perhaps they could give us a report back on, as the list indicated, on particular strikes and what's been done, and then we put our questions.
I didn't catch what the Honourable Minister is saying, but probably are you giving me for me to ask questions or what?
Honorable Sen is saying because the CEO might have to leave, probably he must give but he must ask the question for the CEO to respond. What we want from the CEO. If there's no question to him, there's no question. Ms. Oma saying, Honorable Chile, Mkambi, Mbokwa, in that order.
Thank you, Honorable Sen.
What do you want?
We are at post office now. For me, Chair, I'm more interested on the front. My question would be, the first question would be, Chairperson, just to get to be reminded, because last year there was a presentation in terms of absorbing or integrating employment agencies personnel. Noting that they are not big hour worker employees. But there was that process also. We had a projection of the budget, how much it's going to cost a post office. One would like to know how far are we with that process? At what cost or what triggered the strike? When not any robust and covering all employees in terms of consultation and also negotiations or bilaterals, whatever it may be. And in terms of that process, how far are we? In simple terms of asking the status quo based on the last year's report, Chairperson. But also one would like to hear our the post office strategic plan in terms of communication. So that we are comfortable from where I'm sitting in terms of that post office also is on top of issues on this matter. And what is the plan, the last question, Chair, moving forward, how do we intend to deal with the issues? And I'm sure there will be financial implications, and I'm sure they will expand on that. That would be my question for now, Chair. Thank you.
What
I
would say?
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. Yes, my question relates to the ongoing strikes. I've done a bit of research, and over the last 18 to 24 months, there's been at least between 6 and 8 strikes. Now, the concerns that I have, Chairperson, is firstly, the management of the post office, every single time there's a strike, appears to be caught off guard. There's a lack of adequate communication from management to the public and to their customers. And then whilst the management come back after every strike and say they've reached some sort of agreement and that most likely any further strike will not happen, we continuously see after a brief period of, I don't know, 6 months, that a strike flares up again. And if I have to refer to the last one, again, management is on record in saying that they've reached an amicable agreement, but the unions are saying otherwise. They're disputing that an amicable agreement has been reached, which indicates that there's a possibility very soon of the strike resurging, going ahead, intensifying. So, it points to me that perhaps, and this is in the sort of assurance and information that I think we need from the management of the post office, do they first of all understand exactly what the strike is all about? What the demand are? And if they cannot meet those demands, are they trying to pull wool over the eyes of the fighters of the unions? And saying, yes, they will meet those demands, knowing full well that they are unable to do so. And then 4, 5, 6 months down the line, They have not complied, they have not fulfilled what they have undertook to fulfill, and therefore we have another strike on our hands. We may not realize it, but it does have an impact on the economy. There are businesses that still to a large extent do rely on the services of the post office. And I'm afraid if we continue to have these strikes, that even those businesses that still make use of the post office are going to start looking at other avenues, which is in turn going to have an impact on the income of the post office, and we know that this is a challenge for them already. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Then the other question was to ask the Minister, which courier service provider are they using as a department? Are they using for he has to respond because in China he was using private courier, but it was post office who provided that service. Then I'm taking lead on that particular matter. Honourable Killer.
Well, that is why the service should be so reliable, Chair. Quite frankly, if your parcel has to be delivered, you must know that it will be delivered. Chair, I first of all want to say, and I know the minister last time said we shouldn't praise him, because every time that we do something on some delivery that he has in fact presented to us, his ranking on the list for Parliament goes down. And I think in terms of the school connectivity, in terms of school connectivity...
Honourable Killen must put it in its proper context. I think this is a government or led by the ANC. The president is capable to identify men and women in the ANC to do their good work. That won't happen, but we may proceed.
Chairperson, I will not go that far, but I will say where credit is due, I think we should give credit. Where some more work needs to be done, we still also need to identify that. And there is ample room for improvement in some respects, and we will come to those in as we discuss it. I actually wanted to link my question to some sample to the previous question, which is, what is the root cause of industrial action at sample? And to what extent, and that I want to link it to our physical infrastructure, Chairperson, and it's good that the Minister actually said, in not in all respects, it's fully sort of fledged post offices, but it is a focal point, because sometimes it's a small little community somewhere, but they need to have access to the service to be rendered by the post office. So clearly, it's important to differentiate, but I was just wondering, also seeing the dilemma that we're facing annually with the budget, and the prospect of retaining a viable business model, the challenges moving towards sort of digital communication, electronic communication, all of that. How is SAFL going to make sure that it remains a viable business model? The reason being, Chair, I wonder if it is always necessary to be in some of the very expensive malls that are situated in urban areas. I'm talking about a very expensive site in Canal Walk. Should the post office not try to have a presence in some of these malls, but to go smaller? Because in the end, it creates the impression, and it could give rise to industrial action. The post office is coining it, it's making mega bucks, and people in the area of distribution of post feel that they are being exploited. I mean, we're seeing it all over the country in other businesses. Why would it not occur also in the business of software? Is it necessary to have it? Is it necessary to have the huge spaces? I've mentioned several ones. In order to save some time, I won't go into that. But I just wanted to ask, have you ever investigated that you can curb your rental costs so that you have more to divert to other areas and to achieve a more well-founded business model that would be more affordable? Because as we expand with points in certain areas, you have to shrink somewhere else. So how are you going to balance the demand? Thank you, Chairman.
Mkhandi.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Slide number 13. In the November Progress Report, Minister, a provisional breakdown was provided. But on this one, Minister, it only provides a global figure. Can you please provide the breakdown of the established facilities? Is there also a plan to integrate this facility as part of the program rollout plan? Maybe if we can be able to decide at the point of presence of this program rollout, especially in rural areas. Slide number 40. The progress is in line with the creature undertaking in November. Progress is what we would like to comment it financially. Also, again, I've got a question in slide 14 to ask whether ESCOM is part of the national address team. Which really seems like responsible for the numbers in rural areas. You recall that the rural area, but ESCOM provided house numbers and rural areas. Second, on slide 15, I think the progress is visible with the other exposures. But I think trouble is an excess cleanup. Thank you so much, Mr.
Thank you. I'm reminded by your voice. Congratulations that you've been elected to the Provincial Regulatory Committee of the ASC in Limpopo. I think the celebration is second in thought, so your voice is not in tune, so try to get the correct frequency as we can take it here. Yeah? You can ask the right frequency and provide it to you, then your voice will shut up. Honorable Murotwa?
You called my name when I was in jail. Even ready, because I thought procedurally you are going to ask questions according how the report has been due. So, Chairperson, because of my concern, you know, about the post office, I think I'll be quoting a question that is has always been asked by the committee. In the 2012 financial year, it was marked the beginning of an end of the government's annual subsidy. Until the can was finished to it by New Year.
My apology, Honorable Ruto. I think they were trying to get my attention by the DM and the committee secretary.
Yeah.
That we must welcome our visitors at the gallery. They are most welcome. This is how people's parliament operate. We've got the means of communication. You can raise with them. And the deputy minister of communication. The Director General of Communication. On the side, I've got your public representative from the different parties with us here. So that's what you're asking me to do. So you can raise their hands. So these are the people responsible to make the law of the country. Thank you very much. Enjoy yourself and the remainder of your tour in this People's Parliament. Thank you. Honorable Bruce, my apologies. You may proceed.
Okay. Chairperson, I didn't realize that it's such an important thing that they were trying to discuss. I was talking about the 2018 financial year that marked the beginning of an end to government annual subsidy allocation to subsidies. I don't know whether the minister can tell us something about this. Because I am concerned, if you remember, when we went to, and I don't know what's wrong with my voice. In housing there isn't
no concerns, I don't know what's wrong with your voice. That's proceed.
Yeah. Because the subsidy chairperson, it was so much important for us, especially for the underserved areas, the post office in the underserved areas. Because there is such a big challenge, and the allocation that they get is so low, and the demand is very high in those post offices. Maybe the minister can explain more about it. I don't know, some of my colleagues, they have tried to mention that the court office has got such a competition with others, especially in the sophisticated network that we have nowadays. But I must tell you, fellas, now, I just want to tell you something. One of the days, it was very cold in Cape Town, and I thought one of the ways of dealing with that, the heat that I got from Yon and all other places where we survived. And I thought I was going to buy a heat from Cape Town, a paraffin. And I bought it and I went to the airport. They said, hey, ma'am, you can't change this into the plane. And I was very, very annoyed, citizen, because I was serious. And I realized when they said, go to the post office. What? Post office downstairs. And I thought, no, we really need the post office. And there's something there. And I got my visa to Cape Town. You can see, Honorable Kilian, how important it is.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And Honorable Jane said something about this post office that now are moving into the shopping centers. Especially in our area in Jamabu and Rockville, and they are moved to Jablani. I think the answer was given last, but I don't think it was the answer that we expected. So the person, these are the two questions. What are we doing about the competition that has been asked in another manner by one of the colleagues to improve really the network? I can talk about the post office that we have here in Parliament. I don't know whether they do know that we have a post office here. Whether it is our responsibility as Parliament maybe to establish that post office is very, it's horrible. And for a long time we've been told that the post office is there. But the one that we use in Parliament is really, you know, not an example of what we would. I don't know whether in such areas, maybe Parliament is one of the areas that people then don't even take into cognizance. But we are important, really. People should really apply their mind about such areas. Thank you, Chairperson. If I could get maybe the minister to me.
Thank you very much. Those are the hands I had. Thank you. Minister?
I'll view the issues raised of the ministry and the DM, I might add, as indeed was for me, Lemon Coffee, and then the CEO coming. I think the committee is pointing to what we are saying. You can't put a describe outside of the structural and financial issues at stake. The post office needs to considerably modify its approach to the delivery in a digital age where the ordinary mail is no more the routine source fund. So my story raises the financial issues. In respect of that, it's simple. Before I got appointed, the National Treasury had taken the decision to phase out the subsidy. We have been engaging with National Treasury around this, but that's not going to solve the problem in a period of extreme austerity. I think if we get the post office working more effectively and efficiently with its limited resources, it will strengthen our case funding. I have myself spoken to the Minister of Finance twice,
about the support challenges. And obviously, it seems to me, Treasury's attitude, you know, can't they manage what they have currently more effectively? Can't we stop the mismanagement that they refuse to offer? And then you are a case for more funds. Now, what is really good, Jefferson, I think the members have seen this, is the Office of Basic Education has come out recently once again to show how successful the post office has been in delivering their textbooks in two provinces. We're engaging, and they are, to roll out the further delivery of school textbooks via the post office. In the digital age, the connectivity will also be useful in some of the roles the post office can play. The second thing to say is only on Thursday, I spoke to the Minister of Social Development. In fact, she raised it with me, actually, following a conversation I've been having with her intermittently since last November. The post office could serve to also deliver social security grants. And you know, of course, that they tussled at a legal level up to the Constitutional Court about the current tender. I don't know what it means legally. It's neither here nor there. We should be using the post office. Can we assure the members and can they help us? The post office is fundamental to the development of state. Ever in finance. The post office has an infrastructure that no other structure, private or other, can reach. Now, we can do our bit. But the portfolio committee also looking at the budget and so on needs to put this issue on the agenda. That it should be an interactive process. The more the support board and management are effective, the more national treasury must have money. And the more they cost money to post office, and the more we can be effective and efficient. If you like to use this word dialectically, for mutually reinforcing. I don't think we can abandon the post office, it's too crucial. So on our side, we must be clear. We will do everything possible to engage with national treasury, the ministry, and whatever else, and lobby for more funding. But the more I can deliver, and on your side, as a parliamentary committee help to put pressure on the executive and on national treasury. Maybe a meeting with the chairperson of the finance committee might also help in that regard. On the issue of the department's use of the post office, I think it was in September, we took a decision to use the post office and only use other private services if we have no choice. On each side, the post office has to prove that it is capable of delivering on time. Now, we want to go to cabinet. Although it won't happen in this term, the new ministry will have to do this, I think. The exit report will be put to that. That we must persuade cabinet as a whole, as you must persuade parliament, to use the post office. Unless we have no other choice. So from our side, the commitment is the chairman's report on it. If that's not happening, send an account to the DG and Parliament why it's not happening. There's no debate there. I don't like the word instruction. I don't know that. You engage. But sometimes you do instruct, and that was an instruction. I've raised it 2 or 3 times. There's no debate about it. 3 times. Something done, Sam McCarthy. Account for that chair. So account to the DG and the DM and me next Monday.
Okay, six and 10 days, and they are saying that they engage.
Now that's not just about to come to that. What we would like to do, DG, can we do this immediately? When we go and visit the board of SADC and so on, and in the next 2 weeks or so, can we draft some letter where we write to all state-owned companies, urging them to offer consult to support that they must deliver to you if you put up this. So can't we all do it? We agree. On the issue of the provincial breakdown, well, they will add, but in correct faith, we apologize. We should have done that. There's a copy is available. Can we get it tomorrow morning? I'll review a copy tomorrow morning. And if you want to follow up question, of course you must. On broadband connectivity, can you reply? The post offices that have already rolled out, what about broadband connectivity?
The question of the rollout of the broadband connectivity by the post office is an issue that I believe is being dealt with within the context of the implementation of the Horn of Africa Connect, the broadband policy that has been adopted by this country. And so as far as looking at the institutional arrangement, the role of SAFO will be looked at as one of the institutions that have got a large reach in the country. I think that's the primary point. Thank you.
Well,
Mr. Kubitra, can you when you speak on broadband tomorrow, can you tell us what's being done? Because we're targeting the public sector as an impetus for the rollout of broadband. And can we just do it? The poll post offices, the 50 points of presence, can't we just do it? Can you reply tomorrow? Can't we just do it? There's no need for a general answer. Let's do it. If you can't do it, explain why we can't do it. Thank you. Then on the issue of ESCOM being part of the Nestle Business September.
Thank you, Minister. The ESCOM committee has a policy-making function, Minister, and oversight. ESCOM has not been included as a member of the committee. We are endeavoring to include the Department of Public Enterprise and the Department of Mineral Resources, who would guide us on the involvement of ESCOM and the relevant regulations. But we think it is an important agency to be part of the steering committee. Thank you.
Yeah, the PMI will say something in the GDM.
Thank you, Minister. The problem that we're trying to address, Honourable Tambi, is that I think the presentation that we're given by SSA, you find that you've got a house that has got like phone numbers, one by ESCOM, by Telcom, and by Post Office. So the report that's given on slide number 14, the same committee that the DDP was talking to, is mainly targeted so that you only have one address. So the same committee that we've established with SSA, SAPO, COPTA, Home Affairs was, how do we, as government, deal with this? Do we get an address from an economic point of view? But it's also a security issue if you need to have access to ambulances or police. So it's looking at the provision of address, looking at the different aspects of how to utilize your postal address. And that's the main purpose of the CMU committee to address that issue particularly.
Thank you, Minister and Chair. Just in addition to the explanation that was given or the response that was given by the Minister in terms of post office and his role in the broadband rollout, honourable members will recall that at some stage we took a decision that it is high time that we build capacity in the state. If you have had the NDP, I think it tells you what is supposed to be the role of AOC in ensuring that it takes gains in terms of ICT and all that leadership. Then that encompasses all that, seeks to ensure that what we need to do is to bring together the existing infrastructure that is there in government first, which part of post office is part of, telecom, wherever government is putting money, where I think it's high time that you consolidate those and say this is what we are going to do, and then SA Connect, the broadband plan, then seeks to ensure that after we have brought everybody together, then this is how we're going to roll out. Because we need to avoid costs as much as we need to create jobs, but we must not provide new jobs at the expense of others. We need to utilize the existing infrastructure and improve where we can. That's what I wanted to add, thank
you. We did have a two-day workshop, 18th and 19th of December last year, with support. We brought in experts. We looked at how developing countries have post offices that are successful. I know the opposition party will grow, but they have no intention of privatizing the post office. Pretty sure that is part of our developmental state agenda. And if we do privatize it, you have a problem. That's all my story. And you will. So let's not get ideological about it. The post office belongs to the people, but functioning effectively. A lot of good stuff came out. They looked at developing countries elsewhere, similar to us. How are they surviving, despite them being more digitalized than we are? So I really think the outcome of that report should be presented to the portfolio committee after the election, so that there is a guide for the ministry department and themselves to say, okay, we have this workshop. That's of course something. What's the outcome? Because it's a workshop to write report, we must be held to account. My own view is whenever an executive has a workshop or speak to a company, unless it's something very executive, you must tell the parliament what is the outcome. What is the outcome? And then you must monitor us.
What is the executive?
What that means is, you know, the debate in the Constitutional Court and elsewhere, there are functions of the executive that rightly belong to the executive. Parliament can at most provide framework and guidelines, but it can't like subject every executive function to scrutiny and approval by Parliament. Then the executive becomes moribund. You will remember you went to court many times, opposition parties, and on all counts you were defeated.
Look at the Constitutional Court decision. It says that there are some functions that belong specifically to the executive, and Parliament cannot get involved in the micromanagement of the executive. You're looking for oversight. Otherwise, you know what will happen. We're going to do anything. If we're going to go to the toilet, we're going to come and ask the committee, and we'll go to the toilet. So that's what I mean. That's an executive issue. Okay? So in short, what we are saying is, I think the thing is of public interest. You've got a lot of ideas on how the post office should function. Macaulay and Zola have been here for ages. They've got a lot of experience. Let's bring that report to Parliament, DC and CEO, sometime before June, and you guide the committee, I mean the department, the ministry, and support on which to do that. All the secrets is okay with you, Chair. See
you.
I tried to explain that the minister was pointing with me because I asked a very innocent question. I was asking whether it is viable for the post office in its rollout of new postal services to retain some of the officers in some of the sort of smarter. I understand that they might be there. It is basically just a site. So I just wanted to know if you were following with me about that.
No. You are out of order. The minister has not talked about that matter. Actually, you will be out of order because it's an operational issue more than a strategic. It is strategic because of universal service coverage, but it's more of a operational, which maybe the CEO can respond to it. CEO?
Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, good morning. Firstly, I think it would be important to give a bit of a high-level, full-liner background to the root cause of the strike. Today, the biggest challenge we have been having is to look at the temporary employees who we are using at a minimal level and how best we integrate them into our staff base, taking into consideration the cost related to that. When we came to Parliament, we did the first thing in and around August 24th. We committed that we'll eliminate labour brokers, which we did, and we then contracted those staff into a 12-month contract within staff. That process gave rise to the benefits of an improvement in the take-home packages of the employees. Subsequent to that, towards the end of the contract, we had not come up with a resolve as to how best we want to take care of, we would be able to take care of the assimilation of the staff. But we have already concluded that the best would be to bring a lower level band where these employees would be employed at, and also set up as a pool where future employment will use these employees because they have a skill or time. What then happened is we began the process of converting some of this into what we call permanent part-time. Today we have converted about 1,570 of the then 7,945 temporary employees. The stage implementation was meant to balance the reality of the cost we have to share. At that time we have highlighted that the incremental cost budget was about 13.7 million. Appreciating that if we were to take all of them at once, we have met that, we have unbearable incremental costs. However, what has now begun to be a problem, and hence the fact we have, is that there is now expectation from the employees to be converted to a permanent basis with equal pay for equal work, which at this point in time, if we were to do that, has an impact bottom line of an excess of 300 million. We currently then have to engage these employees and find a resolve to that. And that's what has led to a situation which we have now started a strike has been abandoned. I do appreciate that one of the dilemmas we find ourselves at is that And the striking temporary employees were not part of the recognition agreement between the two unions, which is CWA and SACO, which created a bit of a challenge with, when it comes to how formally we negotiate with them. We could not recognize the representation which came out of these employees, but we had to negotiate with them in the spirit of them being employees, not them as an organized body. And hence, at this point in time, there is that disconnect between the organized labor and this group which represents the employees. However, the positive thing is that the strike has ended. We are now engaging from a premise of how best we come to a recognition agreement within the bounds of the union at hand, and also how do we make sure that the processes going forward integrate the discussion we have within the recognized environment, because otherwise we will be indirectly formulating another body and recognize another body if we don't structure this process properly. We have now 14 days to come to a resolve, CMA is busy facilitating that process, but the indication of that is that only positive hands at this point in time with that help drive. Are these things catching up all guys? Not quite, in a sense that we had a plan. The reality is that we have to strike a balance between negotiating with these employees within the changes around the labor relations, which now indicates going forward that if we have the missing price, we might then have to have the incremental cost of highlighted if they were to be committed to. So we try and find the right balance, and also we try to ensure that within this process, we have limited impact financially, because yes, we are financially challenged. In terms of the model going forward, is this model within SAPO a sustainable one? I do believe strongly, starting what the minister highlighted, that there is an opportunity for SAPO beyond what the minister has covered. We are growing our e-business. Actually, e-business from last year has doubled its ability. This includes bills and payment and other services which are e-based. There's no doubt that the strength of how we proceed going forward lies in how we look at our logistic platform. Beyond the books, it includes making distribution and support from that point of view. Even when it comes to digital migration, we'll be indicating our capability of track and tracing, and that can be extended into other products and uses. There is no doubt that our property portfolio presents an opportunity in terms of, one, whether being part of the broadband and distribution from a multi-purpose center point of view, or from enhancement from a revenue point of view. The current status can be enhanced to improve our balance sheet, which going forward will then strengthen our financial position in where we need to get financial support. We don't necessarily directly have to get guarantees, but we can use our balance sheet to borrow. The one part which I think it is important to highlight also is that there has to be a rebalancing of the outlet. If one looks at where the critical needs are, there is no doubt in the urban areas there is an opportunity to look at optimization in balancing the outlet, but also increasing the rural areas. We have to do this with an appreciation that urbanization plays a role. It has been defined in terms of where we need to be and how we need to identify the number of outlets within the community. One of the big discussions which has happened is how do we look at the standards and the needs so as we balance the two. We balance the current organization and also the rural requirements. And I do believe that is one of the things which in the current review of the regulatory requirements with ICATA is what we have to find a solution to. There will be always an opportunity for other services, and that's what we're focusing on right now. The workshop referred to by the minister, what will bring the report to the portfolio committee, I can confirm that the learning that has been incorporated into a corporate plan, where we had a quick opportunity to look at what things can be done, and that has already happened. And it will be seen as we submit our corporate plan.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, CEO. Abadama just explained CEO is consist of your mind. And that we allow the other people to participate because you requested it. But it is you who is here to give us the progress report. I'm ready to deliver it because I don't want members to go for me in terms of the rule of parliament. Because the rules are clear, the one invited is the one that participates. But if you so wish to extend to some of your delegates who are here to give it other methods, that's why I allow it to happen. So I don't want any question from the side of the member that mix up their own sales and clean about that. So. And I want to thank very much for the SAPO and the other members who are follow up around SAPO. To me, the issue which is important is the issue of the new strategy, which is needed. If you read the 1998 white paper on social issues, it was clear about how we must progress forward in the country. I hope that the ICT panel review process is also going to input in terms of what way forward SAPO will be moving, although it's being brought to get better, but I think one way or another is going to clarify some of the difficulties by SAPO moving forward. I think those three processes, from the workshop, the white paper, ICT policy review, they need to come together at one point so that you put one strategy around the issue of SAPO and so on. But we must also congratulate you, Minister, in terms of the appointment for SAPO board members. Much appreciated the speed you have taken the matter and so on. We hope that the SIU investigation in post office is also going to assist in dealing with the difficult issues in post office, because everyone will say there are problems in SAPO, but nobody knows what are exactly the problems. So we hope that the process will answer that so that we can move forward. Honorable Tom, follow up in your question? But I'm concluding SAPO and to go to SIU.
Since you have given me the opportunity, thank you very much, Honorable Chair, for the opportunity. Honorable Chair, I'm triggered by the report of the Honorable Minister. He said the report in relation to SAPO as ongoing concern, financial sustainability moving forward. Yeah, there have been subject to correction that I had over the radio that there are missing aspects. One would like to know what aspects are those, movable aspects or fixed aspects, and what's the process to do those issues, which also fit in terms of its financial management as it may. That's one thing. The other one, you may choose not to respond, Honorable Minister, but it's just for curiosity to say with an understanding that the matter in relation to ICASA, being taken to court and are waiting for the court ruling. 2 weeks back, I had over the radio FM, that they are, I think it was Vodacom that is telling what is the issue that they are challenging. This Vodacom or whoever, probably you may not respond to that, but when I had over the radio, it seemed like it was Vodacom, but you can correct me. But it seems to be corrected if it was not a mobile service provider. The other one, just to also probably in closing for my question, to appreciate the response that at least there is a green light, it's not like everything is done with the swamp with the person, based on what the minister has response, and also hopefully the new administration also will take up some of the issues. But having said that, I would like to flag the issue that the minister said that, which is correct also, that who's liable to as a committee which gives an oversight. Just to remind Honorable Minister that we deal with after events. So maybe it could take time, which could be the future even ideas that we report. But I'm sure your office is well resourced in terms of your technical advisor and all that. They might also treat their brains in terms of how can they ask them better. So when it comes here, it's better because it will be after events when it comes to our signature.
Thank you. Listen, Hafez.
and I know it, maybe the TG wants to add. That's the exact argument, presumably, I'm not saying, in a broad sense, treasury would say, if you want more money, fine. But maybe it's the money we've got at the moment, better. As I understand it, this is part of the SIU investigation, right? So it's fallen there. There's no question one would not answer, unless it has legal implications for individuals whose names are mentioned. Which is why I want to make a preliminary remark before Cornelius takes us to the SIU investigation. Secondly, as I understand now here, my understanding is the committee chair has been helping GM and myself, the TG, whoever else. We would prefer people not to go to court. Court is the last resort. In this country, people jump to the courts at every whim. This is the country that produced one of the most astonishing negotiated processes in the 20th century. In the 1994 transition. We should negotiate. So, as I understand it, MTN has gone to court. Vodacom at this stage has not gone to court, although they've been suggesting that. Now, obviously, we're not naive. Both of them have an interest in having these regulations reviewed. So, it's possible that Vodacom not going to court, I don't know, because MTN is taking the cast at the court. We would have preferred that they sat down and see whether they could have negotiated some process. So it's regrettable that people have gone to court, but that is their right, so we can't stop it. Thirdly, you're right. Everything you say is the last advice. If something is right, chair committees for 11 years and seven backbenches for 4 years, I also felt. There's something about us, the current leadership of DOC, the DMNI. You can speak for yourself if you disagree. We are clear. We're not afraid of rigorous, effective oversight. We welcome it. How can we get better unless we subject ourselves to rigorous oversight? And these things one picks up as a minister when one, I think he's here and sees what the parliamentary committee is saying, even about us as a department or a minister. So I agree with you. We have complementary roles, so distinct ones. We can't conflate those roles, but we welcome stringent oversight.
Thank you, Minister. Before we check the SIU SABC, tea is ready. They were not Chinese, so we are safe about our tea. But we can just rest for 10 minutes and have our tea.
If your point is
the independent regulators should not only come to progressive outcomes that serve the development and interest of our country and people, but we should also arrive at procedures. I think that's a valid point. Personally, I'm asking the Harbour, because we just took it in this. Interestingly, the committee didn't, because it just took it in this. For them to make such far-reaching and very impressive decisions, surely they would be scrupulous about observing the process. And they seem to say they haven't done anything wrong. We don't know how courts are, and what outcome can derive from that. But maybe they've been cautious. But I don't think they've said, or even what is even the thought that they have, that they've done anything wrong either in terms of the procedure or in terms of outcome. It's a good question, maybe.
Thank you. Let's pray for tea, 10 minutes, and can we
The minister.
And you've got legal advice, I'm not a lawyer, but you can't actually go to an open committee and mention them. Because there's two lawyers there, the chairperson and say. We don't know, see, once people bring the chair chair and they end up in a meeting, it's not fair on the people, right? I mean, you know, in this current terrain, some people are genuine. Got cases they should dispute against them about. Others are like political players. So what we have done here, so we find that the open meeting, no one is running, but what we have done is we've removed the name. We put case one, case two, case three, because it's not fair people really. So they did something in the meetup, it was just so optimistic really. It's a fact of obviously fine. That the ministry is running away. They're not running away. I didn't make laws. I don't even, not lawyer. I just get guided by my order. In short, they remove the name, so we're teaching the people not to ask the name.
Yes, I'd like to call the minister's attention to the fact that the name is already a matter of part of the record. In the SIU report that was presented to this committee in December 2012, there were names there, nothing of the names, there actually did get serious charges, I've got them here, and there were various other, the whole table, I can share the report with you if you like, of people who are being investigated and decided not to drop. So the names are already in that public record. But this isn't a witch hunt. What you want to know is take one, what has happened here, has the person been charged? That's what we want.
Except I agree that if somebody comes here on the invitation of the executive with the permission to share, it should be all the time. But I suspect one of the reasons is that we've been broadcasting should say, hopefully broadband and IEC tomorrow and whatever else. So the reason, thank you. How about the SIU an issue that we can't manage?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. I've prepared a few slides, but I'll quickly run through them. If we go to the first slide, basically the first slide is just gives a background to where the whole investigation about the SIU investigation comes from. I think those are facts that the members are familiar with, so I won't go through them. Just to highlight that there are two streams of work that needed to be done further than after the 18th of September. One, the issue could be clustered into those that needed to be dealt with by the board of the LAGC as the accounting authority. Then the next cluster thing was those measures that the LAGC, the SIU referred to other authorities, such as your prosecuting authority and other investigating authorities, such as the Specialized Commercial Crimes Unit. You go to slide number 3. The one of the issues that were identified were criminal matters that were investigated by the SIU. And under those, there are 9 cases, which I would rather not run through them, but highlight that the one was about international court acquisition and the contract that the SIU entered into, issues of abuse of position and power, and so on. In respect of those cases, those 9 cases, if you go to slide number 4, those cases up to slide number 5 were referred to the pristine qualification by the SIU. So Advocate Mojiba is going to help us to say how we're going to take the matter forward. If I quickly run to the next slide, which would be slide number 6, then it's an issue about fruitless, wasteful, and direct expenditure, which has been investigated by SIU. And just an important, two important facts to mention there. During the time of the investigation, September 2006 and March 2008, there were two boards that existed in that period. So later, some of the findings were related to those two boards.
If you go to slide number 7, basically what it says is the quantum of the money is involved in this wasteful and fruitless wasteful expenditure and irregular expenditure, which are 9.6 million and 275.6 million respectively. What it like highlights is that mainly because of those wasteful, fruitless, irregular expenditure was lack of adherence for disregard of predominant policies and delegation of authority framework. In that respect, despite the obvious value of that, the board failed in terms of Section 51 of the DFMA. Section 51 of the DFMA is about the general responsibilities of the accounting authority. Moving to slide number 8, really is about sort of recourse, which was found in 18, Section 86.2 of the DFMA to correct the program, the disregard of failure to adhere to Section 51, provisions of Section 51-85 of the DFMA. These matters, the SIU first issued the request for further investigation by FSU, FCCU. Quickly moving to slide number 9, it just repeats the provision of Section 83, which says failure to adhere to provisions of 51, Section 51, has means that someone is committing a financial misconduct. Then we go to skip the other pages. I have said basically, I'm now in slide number, I should move faster because those slides are repeating what has been said. Slide number, I want to move to the issue, the next issue. So the issue of a fruitless, wasteful expenditure, they will refer for further investigation. Now I move to another cluster of issues, which is the issue of conflict of interest. Here, the SIU investigated about the conflict of interest, and some members of the board were exonerated, at least in the consideration of implementing those recommendations. There was legal advice obtained to say how to reveal the current board values. The board that was in place between 2010, that was in place between 2010 and not the board, the board between 2010 and 2013 was expanded last year. So what the conclusion was that the lawyers were that these people have dispensed their responsibilities. But the issue, I must say, the further engagement that needs to happen with the SABC is because the SABC is the accounting authority. Whatever opinion they have been given, still needs to be discussed. And then the other matter that was dealt with was the question of revenue matter. Again, the SABC, the FIU, conducted the investigation of this matter. The cases are 7 in total. The first case is about a commitment signed and approved in contravention of the delegation. That is on slide now, slide number 14. The delegation of authority contravention, which resulted in a commitment of about 100 million. The next case was about two commitments worth about 22 million. Again, there was a lapse of the DFA, delegation of authority framework. And the third case is about abuse of position by one employee, which benefited a relative. The next case is more, is about outing again of a delegation of authority and failure to approve a contract. And so those are the main cases, they revolve around the delegation of authority. And so there were findings in respect of each one of those cases, but in general terms, it was about the failure of the board to comply with section 513 of the PFMA. And so the board then ordered and were in place at that time, but they had accounted for that failure. The next step, let me deal with the action that I take. We have prior indicated earlier on that the SABCC appoint a firm of attorneys to advise on how to take the recommendation of the FIU forward as they became revenue members. However, there are debates about the value of the FOFA report. For the purpose of providing all points of view, we just refer to what they raised as kind of advice or proposal for the SABCC. In one interest case, they said the board has taken all steps necessary and discharged its responsibilities in terms of section 51 of the GMA. Section 2, then the second case, also case number 16, the first same way. In terms of, in general, on all those cases, the board is kind of exonerated. Now, this is based on what is actually additional information that was obtained subsequently in the investigation. Then the next question that I'm going to deal with is related to security costs. I'm on page slide number 24. Security costs incurred in respect of some employees, board members and employees of the SABCC. A former deputy, a former CEO, and a former acting CEO were found to have benefited from security services, which necessarily would not have been provided for in terms of the policy of the organization. And so that matter had to be referred to SARS for further investigation for possible contravention of Income Tax Act of 1962. I'm now going to slide number 26. On slide number 26, there was also an investigation on Ed Fabian. What actually happened there is that some board members went on trips and some officials accompanied by persons other than persons prescribed by the existing police. And so in that case, it was found that this was a lack of compliance with the existing policy. And the FIU recommended that further investigation be undertaken. I'm on slide number 28 now. To determine if they came for recovery of costs from the board members warranted. Slide number 29, I go to conclusions. And on slide number 29, what can be concluded from this report is that it's clear that there are measures that need to be followed up that have been referred rather to other investigating authorities by law prosecution authorities. Two, there is a need for engagement with the attorneys appointed by the SABCC to get a sense of their advice that they give. And three, again, it says we need to understand fully what was the basis of the opinion of the SABCC. And that point you're making is that this investigation that is to be undertaken and a follow-up on the matters referred to other investigative authorities. And the last slide is on the way forward. Again, the way forward is talking about the need to further engage with the attorneys appointed by the SABCC to advise on implementation of the recommendations of the SIU. Then the next proposed way forward is that the NHGC should request them to provide periodic progress report on implementation of the recommendations, especially those that deal with staff members and former board members. Three, we say the SIU should request them to submit progress report on cases they have sent to other authorities of whether it's a beginning or prosecution. Number four, we're saying, again, the point raised earlier on to engage with the attorneys of the SAPC. Point number five, the ministry will better advise all the necessary action that needs to be taken against any board member. The last point is saying, the ministry commit to give a periodic report on progress made to the portfolio committee. That is the end of the broad overview of the SIU investigation report. Minister, then through you, should ask the advocate Mojiba to come in on the issue of the SIU.
Thank you.
Advocate. Thank you, Honorable Chair, Minister, Deputy Minister, and Honorable Members. Just a point of clarity. I'm representing the head of the unit advocate team. I'm not an advocate of profession. My name is Paul Mokiko. I'm the president of the at SIU. I apologize for the inconvenience. Maybe I should just give a background, just a quick background. And so, if you can allow me, the first point is that I have been informed that I should be available for the whole day. So I'm not going to leave after this session in case there are some clarity on the point of the SIU. Thank you. As you know, the SIU is a creature of statute, and it can only do what is allowed in terms of the Act. The Act gives certain powers to the SIU in terms of investigation. We can only trigger those powers if the President issues a proclamation to the SIU. Now, when the President issues a proclamation, specific terms of reference are mentioned in what we call the schedules. So we cannot go out of the schedules. And most importantly, we cannot go above the last date of the issue of the proclamation. So if the proclamation was issued today on the 18th of February, and something happened at midnight, 1 minute later, we will coordinate, but we cannot use the SIU power in terms of that. Just to mention that the SIU operates like a commission of inquiry. So it derives its power from that. Now, in the SIPC report, just to mention that we have submitted a financial report to the Office of the Presidency. It should be last year in May, I think on the 30th of May, if I don't miss the date, 30th of May 2013. And I'm the one who signed off the report to the Presidency. The outcome of the SIU prior to October 2012 and after October 2012 and after the 10th of October 2015. The SIU objective when they investigate for the purpose of civil recovery. That is to recover in terms of ex-committees of corruption, maladministration, or any ex-contrary to the laws of the country. It also, in the Act, it also mentioned that when the SIU discover evidence, criminal evidence, they must refer it to the general prosecuting authority. Basically, the SIU also, when they discover acts of misconduct, they are supposed to inform the department, actually refer the evidence of that disciplinary charges to the department to take action. Now, those are some areas of
recommendation. Now, prior to our act being amended in October, because there was a judgment which adversely depended on the work of the SIU. And the judgment was that the SIU cannot be a super committee. That is, the SIU cannot sue on behalf of our department. So prior to that, the LADC investigation was intended by that. We couldn't take matters to the special tribunal to litigate on behalf of the SIU. So the matters that we have identified, conservation of PSMA, the losses that we have identified, we could have taken them to the special tribunal to litigate on behalf of the SADC with a view of recovering the money from the parties that are involved. But unfortunately, because the law by then was SAD, we couldn't take. That is why our recommendation was we have to send all those evidence of exhaustive recovery back to the SAD to deal with them and finalize them with the view of recovery. Of course, we have recovered some money, but it's I don't want to set my organization some pretty case that we have to cover some people who also concern us in the SADC. Now, after October 21st, after our SSD amendment, we are able to go back to court to assist the department that the permission has been issued to recover the money. And just to mention that our methodology has changed in that regard, and as well as the SIU has appointed a team of lawyers who are doing the litigation where we have found those irregularities. And one case just in point, without breaking, we have assisted the Department of Water Affairs for the consultant that provided the stolen amount of $6 million. We went to court and we issued someone in the name of the SIU, and we managed to sell his property, his house, to the level of about 1.6, 1.7, and the money will be paid to the Department of Water Affairs. This is a recent case. Now, in terms of the matters that are hanging, in terms of the criminal matters reported to the NPA and to the South African police, we just like to apologize to the committee and also to the minister. We should have tightened our coordination instead of following up the matters and updating the presidential report. The coordination part on the part of the SIU was making. But now the situation has changed in the sense that when we refer the final report to the president, we also highlight to the president that this report or the final report will update the president and the minister and the department concerned with the progress on the matters that are referred either to NPA for possible prosecution or to the police. So the situation has changed in terms of the coordination seems to fall under one secret cluster with the department of justice, the police, and other agencies dealing with corruption. That will be all from our side. Thank you.
One minute to say that what our colleague has said in SIU is very consistent with the letter we received from Advocate Sterling yesterday apologizing. That now with the changes they're able to do more. And secondly, that he did explain that because of the huge responsibilities they have and staffing and other kind of things, a number of tasks they have to pursue, that they have not followed up on those cases, for example, and whatever, and that they will do so now. A, because the regulations have changed around it, and B, because this matter is defined by so they're not trying to do it, but it's very what he said. But this is send me the video for the option.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kandi, Honorable Kilen, Honorable Shin, Honorable Steng, and Kandi.
Thank you so much, Mr. President. One is just worried about the turnaround time. When you check the date different than signed the proclamation and where we are today, I'm looking at it before I have changed 50. Also bearing in mind that the department was sent with this report around the major meeting. I think the issue that I raised on the sitting of the way was the presentation. It will be getting progress on the things that they are indicating that the department is going to do. Even the general time is a problem because definitely that the objective of this government now not realized, it's almost 4 years down the line. And there's nothing I can do that can show and say this is one of the ideas. So I'm just worried And then what I was also addressing with regard to all these cases, case 1 up to case 9, that's the matter 4 and 5 of the representation. But today's update was to get the update on the progress made, because it doesn't end at referring the letter to the police. What is the status of the of those cases now? So we would give the chance to what I do with the because basically what is in here is another bullet in the reality. We have this information. We have this information. To us now is a concern that there is nothing new, because we were expecting progress support to all these matters. Because in terms of this report, there's nothing new for us. These are the matters that we considered from the 18th of September. Thank you so much,
thank you, Honorable.
Mr. President, I am happy on the last to announce myself of the concerns expressed by the Honourable newly elected member of the ANC and FOPA provincial executive.
Thank you.
I want to just say, I just want to say, and that is that in 4 years of the event, we tried as a portfolio committee to push this matter for various reasons. We've only got a report once, maybe twice, but there's no progress. Secondly, as a result of this, here we have clear-cut evidence of people who really transgress every possible act. Yet we don't see anything happen to them. People have been appointed to board, to the board of the SSCMFR. They have possibly currently been appointed to other boards. But in terms of the Companies Act and the CFA, those individuals who are appointed to boards of state entities are to be held in the individual capacity, the council, as well as the accounting authority. And we must be action taken against people. People must be charged and money must be recovered. I'm happy to hear that, and I know about the case in Water Affairs, and that's one success. That accounts for a case of 6 million. If we look at the cases before us, which is only in this agency, it's hundreds of millions. And can I say, I have a serious concern that these irregular activities at the SABC have not stopped. It's just moved on. We had several more boards, incoming and outgoing. And unfortunately, maybe the routine is not as much as it has been in the past, but there is still looking at the evidence. There are still people being appointed irregular. There are still people who are moved into positions for which they are qualified. And the board, subsequent boards, have approved it. When will we see consequence? Because until such time as we take action against those in the civil service as well as those sitting in entities, state-owned entities, and in the board, we will continue to have the same to be repeated ever and ever again. So, Chairman, I'm very concerned. I look at this and I'm saying to myself, has anything really tangible been referred to the prosecuting authority? Has there been any steps there? And it's not only a question, I refer to slide 7, which refers to the PFMA. Yes, it's true, Stephen A., but what about the Companies Act? The Companies Act is very clear. And the SAC is a company. Many of the other institutions are companies. The Companies Act appears directed can be charged for decisions that results in fruitless and grateful expenditure. And then, Chair, at the end, I want to conclude by saying, if we look at this, we have had a firm of attorney who has been involved in this process, but again, nothing really has come to fruition. And it's exceptionally disappointing that, as a committee, we will conclude our business. And we started with this problem right after, and we have not resolved it. We
we're talking about pre the life of the fallen, irregularity. What is going to happen to all of those who were part of the operation at the very same public court after, subsequent to that? So I really feel that we cannot allow this to continue. And even if we need to have, yes, we have heard that the SIU is under pressure, but clearly they have let us down badly. And this came at a huge cost, gentlemen. I remember that the SIUC complained at the cost of the Auditor General as well as SIU, and we don't see the results. So this is unacceptable, and we really want to implore the minister to make this happen post the election, because he will be an office. You see, if you cannot get action in the SIC report and the recommendations made, you have to bring, even if it is in writing, some other report back on the SIC. Please, we want all the action made. We want to see action in the SIC report. Thank you.
I must be mindful of your rating. Honorable Chief.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, I concur that this is really a disappointment that there's been no progress over 2 years. I mean, when I first joined the committee in 2011, we had early on in that last a report on the SIU's investigation. When the SIC presented to us in 2012, we accepted packing with that report, because there's nothing new in this report, and what the report has done a lot of. And here we are again, here, what, 2 years later, 4 years later, with really absolutely no progress. And I don't necessarily find that the faculty, the change of legislation around SIU needed to have halted what was happening. I mean, excuse me, the 9 cases that have been opened at the Brixton Police Station, why would the SABC have transferred? Because we are the agreed party. We see transferred that. What is happening with those cases? And I believe that there was not any will at the SABC to actually pursue the wrongdoers. And I think that sort of lackadaisical approach to criminal activity by employees continues. It's why this place is such a mix of the moment. Is that you've seen them, you can drag these things out forever and hopefully go away and everybody will be forward. You know, life will continue as normal. As normal is when a third of the SAC staff had a conflict of interest. I mean, that is shocking. Okay, it's historical. But, you know, there is no impunity. They can do what they like. And as you know, life will continue to get away with it. And so obviously one needs to know from what hopefully is then the level of action at the SABC. But they're actually going to act with vigour against these 9 people, some of whom have landed the SABC in really financial difficulties, particularly with purchasing millions of rands worth of unviewable material. If they get away with this kind of behaviour, and this is, you know, so not an entirely service, because people are not on the account, they leave with clean records, and they just move on until they get plowed out again, and then they move on again. There has to be commitment to actually deal with criminal activities within corporations, government corporations, and departments. And I would like to see a commitment from the minister to perhaps pass on to his successor, maybe, but in order to whatever he decides to do that happens at SABC. That the Brixton, the case is already lodged at the Brixton police station 3.5 years ago, or whatever, 2011, are actually pursued and concluded. You know, have they even been tested for these things? Have these people perhaps died in the interim? So it is unforgivable that we should allow this kind of criminality to do.
Thank you very much. I was hoping that members will address themselves in the way what in the recommendation. Honourable State.
Sure, yes, indeed, it's food for thought. My colleagues have just about covered the in terms of the disappointment of the lack of real action in this regard. I want to just divert slightly, Chairperson, and then it is the way forward. No indication has been given to us regarding where charges have been laid, and it's clear that it has been followed up with the status of these charges are. But what is the status of those employees against whom charges were laid? Are they still employed? Are they suspended on full pay? What exactly is the, where is actually some action taken? What is the current The chairperson, just to add to what my colleague said, this is extremely disappointing to read, and I'm referring to slide 13, for example, amongst others, and there must be another one towards the end, where this will have to be pursued further, including through engagement with the Pakwa thing. I'm also very, I don't know if one should call it suspect, but there appears to be opposing findings by the attorney and the SIU. Now, let's see if it's true with the previous indictment on the work of the SIU. And for the life of me, I cannot understand why new evidence has been forthcoming after the attorneys were appointed. Because I would imagine that when the SIU did their investigation, they asked for evidence of whatever they uncovered. They asked for perhaps people before we named people to defend themselves when the charge was put to them. So I don't follow this rationale there that the attorneys were appointed to look at the findings or to look at the report of the SIU and advise on the way further. They, in doing this, appear to have done their own investigation and simply say that somebody is either not guilty or the finding was erroneous. I don't know if that was checked with the SIU, for example. So that they could be checked within the attorney. And the evidence that they're using is correct. But I mean, it is extremely disappointing. And then in terms of, and there were a number of those that were guilty because of the confirmation of the DHS. Now, in terms of the processes in place, are there no checks and balances? That if somebody doesn't have their delegated authority, that they cannot enter into certain agreement context for what you want. Why do we have that framework if somebody that doesn't have the delegated authority can really go ahead and do it anyway? And they get paid by the financial department in the SABC. What are the checks and balances? And I think one needs to go there and look at it now, as it is. So that at least in this instance, we prevent the same thing from happening. But the framework that doesn't have checks and balances is useless. It makes it might as well not exist. And then, lastly, Chairperson, again, I'm very disappointed. Even with the Minister, and it says on slide 30, the Minister will get further advice on what action is necessary. And this is almost a year after both the SIU and the Attorney's report was given to the Ministry. So the Ministry is going to consult with the Attorney once again before they decide what action to take. And it's my understanding that the Attorneys were appointed precisely to interrogate the SIU report and then give the way forward to the Ministry, to the NACC, in terms of the findings. We seem to be going around in circles, Chairperson, and as my colleague has said, it's one of those instances where somewhere along the way, it's going to fall through the cracks, it's going to be caught, and other issues are going to come up. And the unfortunate thing is that some of these people that may very well, and I want to stress the fact, may very well be guilty of these conversations. I'm going to pop up somewhere else in the public service and just repeat what they've been doing and getting away with all these years. Thank you.
And also, I'm discouraged by the fact that seemingly the proclamation as the effect. It takes also a long time before that proclamation is meaningful to anyone. I really believe, I don't want to accuse people, you know, because maybe because of my naiveness. But I really think this is a waste of time for me. Not that I wanted to have a SIS report about things that I want to hear. But nothing has been done so far, and this is a come forward, because it means, it's a very indictment of the SIS. You know, my question would be, what now? What should we expect? Because things are happening. We've got two boards already that have come for us. And the things are happening. And we keep on threatening each other. You know how she is. You know her. I don't know if she does. She doesn't waste time to write a letter every time there's a meeting. I want to know what next.
There's another letter tomorrow. Thank you very much, members, for your questions and so on. I hope that all of those points will deal with the issues in terms of what now, focusing on the...
All right. Basically, I don't think there's much difference between what the committee is saying and what the ministry is saying. Firstly, I only got to know about this issue, I was not pleased about it, until a letter, a parliamentary question came. I didn't know what it was about. So, it's after, if you'll see, where I prepared the answer was based my answer on the basis of the department advising me. Then I replied. But I don't know, I am advised as follows. So you will see, as far as I know, that letter, that the question put to me has been advised as follows. Now, I only got the one from December, to be quite frank, until 10 days ago, when this issue came up for consideration here. I wasn't aware of the issues. But ultimately, I'm the minister and I'm accountable. But I'm a human also. We've got a million issues to deal with, and we've been pushed by me. And please do, I put it by myself. But what, I don't know what is expected of me. Because here it is, there are different agencies here. What is the role of the department, the ministry, and again, other agencies? In the first instance, this is a challenge about the criminal justice system. And it has slowness in dealing with issues. It applies not just to the SAD issues, but to other areas of society as well. Some of these issues have to deal with SADC more. I am advised by the department in our two sittings in preparation for this, and this is the most challenging report that we prepare. That the issues around the management chairman are issues around the board to deal with. Where you are correct about the minister is when it comes to board level, the minister has to act. I think that's the reason why the portfolio committee decided to refer this to the minister. My first knowledge of all of this was 10 days ago probably. In regards to that, it's not a circular fashion. We are going to ask a few things to advise that can be received. So it's not going to go further in litigation. I just need legal advice. The more experience in the last 9 months is, if you go ahead and act, and then people challenge you, your bigger big companies will still want to challenge their own shareholder representative. So the shareholder that doesn't appear to say it. It's really quite remarkable. You can simply look at down the road. So in that sense, it's not going to be a long investigation. Then I just instead of you, instead of the incoming executive having your account and a report being given to you, you see, can't we do something in the interim? Can't we give ourselves to the end of March? We do a report, a written report. And the things that we are legally responsible for, we do. Where's the law legal advice? Is anybody here? We just do what we should do, okay? So we will seek to give you a report, this is my word, seek to give you a report by the end of March, but certainly before the May 7th election, at least 2 weeks before the May 7th election.
on the nine cases that are there before the Richmond Police, it's the same question I asked to the department. What happened? Come to report on it. The SRU, if I gather correctly, is going to follow that up. But if they're not supposed to follow it up, the board should follow it up. If they're not supposed to follow it up on legal advice, we will follow it up. If my party does it, can we do it as a department? If we can, we will do it. On the issue of status of the employee, why don't we prepare a letter after consulting with a lawyer to the SABC board to ask where are these employees? And we will tell them that we're going to release the letter to the portfolio committee because they're right to have it. I apologize, and I don't know what more we can do. As far as the Volcker report is concerned, I only discovered it exists publicly. My understanding is what happened, and I'm not sure because Mark Stoney doesn't know. The board did the right thing, I would imagine. They got an SIU investigation. They asked a team of attorneys, advise us, or now that the SIU company is finding, how do we proceed? Because their own employees were challenging them in court. And it stuck there for months and months and years. Rather, you order to put a letter based on one single company. Just follow the law. I'm not a lawyer. I asked the CPA to advise them directly. He did it. We don't have the capacity, we're quite frank in our own department, to manage these issues. To repeat what I said to the press, there's nothing I'm going to say anything more than that, which is, the same morning I rang the chief chain for advice and said, what am I supposed to do about the meeting about the material report? Which I don't even have, this is 9:35 a.m. today, which is a letter that needs to be ready. We only found on the website yesterday a 24-letter page summary. I asked, where is the report? I asked the ministry this morning, is there a report that 842 from references, there's no report that we have. Now this is going to have to be raised by Parliament and myself, with two other together. I got the report now, after three hours to it, at 9:35 a.m. So I called the Chief State Law Library this morning, and told I get the report, it's not on the website, I can't understand why it can't go onto the website. He said, yes, we will ask the Chief State Law Library to come back to us by Monday. What should we do? Because the staff member said we also a speaker by, and then they will challenge us and we stuck it. So we went everything according to the law. So you wouldn't get anything to the same. I'm usually now that the book of the court did a further investigation. I don't know if that was their mandate, but presumably they were asked by legally. Like all the Daniels and Oxford, we're not going to go further investigation. They're going to say, Mr. Peter, you're right to this. And we're going to actually have to get this report on what we should do on the 3 months instead of the report. I can't speak for SABC, nobody's here. Nobody's not there on the phone here as well, or the SIE. That's a question I don't know. But in short, what we are suggesting is, why don't we do this? If it's legally tenable, let me say, what? We commit ourselves to giving a report, send by the end of March, send me by the end of April. Two, you want to invite us in the midst of an election, or you want to have a teleconference with us, a small sheet. Maybe two, three from each committee, let's do it in a conference, we will reply to it. Right? Hopefully I won't be in the innermost, outermost area of Shumai or whatever, I'll be in the BG Lady, that's my question. And we will confer. If once we do that, we do that. Secondly, whatever the department and ministry might legally do, we will do. Three, yes, we will write an executive report. Okay? All ministers presumably will have to do that, like all committees. We'll tell the incoming executive where they are. Please proceed with the session. I don't know what more we can do, Minister. I mean, just that this is a poison slipper, about moving in the committee. What I'm saying is, I'm simply saying, just be humane and human, right? This thing fell out of my desk when I got a question early in December. I didn't understand. I can tell you, I looked at the staff and it was just, I'm in touch. Now, the SIU, the poor fellow, also, and it's not there. I'm not a minister of justice, don't fall under us, but you claim that they are in the act. Why don't you just give us a place? We will have a meeting within 14 days of the book of our attorney. The current SABC board, which cannot be held to account for this. The current board is innocent of all these allegations. But we find out from that. So the current board, and this is the current board, both our attorneys, the FIU and the DOC meet with the rules to prepare a joint report for you. And then we say, this is what the board must do in respect of the employees. This is what the minister will do in respect of the board. Members who are affected. This is what FIU will do.
And this is what we're like. Honorable.
Chairperson, I do know that you are biased as a minister, but I saw the way you were teaching the way they called you minister. Body language. Yes, you know, and I thought you'd say to the minister, of all the people that he's going to be taking along when he does this, can you include the DM? Because, yes, she has been there and she understands the notice, and also, because I personally have been doing the talent when you were dealing with this AI thing. Then, Chairperson, I would really like to say to the minister, I don't think this time we must let it be. Who are not responsible for this. You see, all the negligence that appears here is not from guilty's point. It runs down from where the proclamation comes from, right down to other areas. So, Minister, you shouldn't cover yourself by maybe thinking that we are. No, no. We are creating the procedures here. I think we never thought, you know, at this time of the day, we'll be having the same thing all the time. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Yeah.
Minister made note to also say that one of the challenges that we face in the department, especially when we deal with our incidents, where investigations are concerned, is the fact that I want to make this word our you members of kind of team also. So that when you are paid, when you do your monitoring and when you call us to account, you know very well what's happening. That the same investigation that might be saying that this okay for this is the report, therefore this is the action that has to take care. And then the same entity takes the same money that is allocated for the program of the entity, they go to court. Doesn't matter whether they're going to win it or not, anyway, it doesn't get out, it doesn't come from their pocket. It remains state money, and in that process, that's a target that is committed to, or we are committed to as a department, and as a network, some money has been spent on legal issues that drag or address, deliver the people. So as a delay, a term must be changed, and we're not sure if the members of the protocol will be the same next term, and all those, so that when another administration and another legislation comes, I mean legislation comes, they don't know those things, maybe there are loopholes in the report, whatever, but if they are based, there's nobody to keep them through. They start again, they give you wrong information, and you protect it. It is something that we need to take into consideration and think very seriously. How do we then? I'm not saying if we took a decision as a Department of Communication to do whatever that we have taken in Parliament, don't have enough. But if we took a wrong decision outside our money, or where in public health follow the process that everybody knows of, let individuals take responsibility and put their money to make it a little better. Because when individuals who never decide to be whoever they are in the position when legal issues must be raised. And in that process, this money is wasted. So it cannot be that every time we say hide and seek. And unfortunately, as honorable people are saying that, what happens is that I'm going to remove you from them moving, and I also put down. Take a place to autograph. Just if you do something that, then take it to another department. We have seen it happening in the municipality, we have seen it happening in the department. We do wrong in this board, we take it to another one. I think it is high time that we set up a teacher there. That if they have been found, or there is an allegation against saying now, that in all our public then some services must be followed, and then an action must be taken. You can't get to be deployed or employed in another person in the same government, whereas we have done anything illegal in another field of government or wherever certain country we're in. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Member, that will conclude the Ikoram SIU as the leaders proposed the way forward. It has been quite frustrating. We all agree. But at least it was a process underway to try and pull things together. But I do not want around this matter. But I think at one point, Minister must deal with the issue of some of the SACC and the CAP. Because it cannot be that when it's good for them, they know what is the need or what role the person must be. When it suits them, the minister does not exist or the minister does not have a role. That mention has been clear. And very soon, because it's going to cause us a lot of harm more than that. So I think that's the matter which needs to be attended to, so that it clarifies what are the reasons you want to the shareholders. Why do you enter to a shareholder contract with a person you think that not have authority over you, but you are entering a shareholder contract? You will ask your association with that person, but when it suits you, the minister of the existence or other people are important. So we have to give those issues so that it's clarified. Otherwise, we'll have entities, in particular, SACC in the because that's where sometimes the issue of what is the role of the department around that. I think it will be streamlined and clarified in terms of giving those issues that can't, that people will not want to account anyway when they're supposed to be accountable. Otherwise, we are having a problem around this matter. But what I'm reading is what I've been taking out for a long time. Most of the issues is that the implementer comes up in terms of the accountability at all. Everyone is accountable, including ourselves, as members of parliament. So it's kind of support by their own kind of accounting with all the regulator and so on. They do as they wish, as they please, and so on. Then it's normal. It can't. We have to deal with that. Members, that was the FIU report in the legislative SAPC. I hope you, I take it that you accept the report by the minister, in particular that they will issue the SIU and come up with a joint report, and the other things which the minister articulated in terms of for an update report around this matter. We hope that the minister then the process will be able to move on. But I also hope that you second the concern raised by the members. You need to satisfy yourself what role did this action play in okay? Was better or was to enhance the implementation? Because there could be a clarity around that, what role they played or around this particular matter. But we leave everything to you so that when you meet and ask the FIU and the others, they are able to come and share one report. Honorable Kutua?
I asked you last year when the secretary has summarized countries other but I think I had a serious concern while the minister was talking about it. The figures that we would like to hear from them. Definitely, Minister, I wouldn't like to call you, you know, when we elect him went. Because that on its own had a contribution to the election. Whatever you are going to come back with, we might use it as a weapon for the election. Some of us. So definitely you are going to do this and then we'll be effective after the election.
Thank you. That will conclude SACC-SIU. You see the problem with this comment is that you conclude things that when you go to the media, you see others. That's a problem. But that's how we conclude it. I will let the TV. Is that my question?
Listen, there's a presentation that you can pass around. I'll just cover it quickly. It's on the screen there. This has been on the agenda since 2008. Those of you who are senior members of this committee know more about it than I do. The then minister adopted a policy that we should have control in the central box for a variety of reasons. If you look at the slide presentation, Teresa, if you look at the first point on slightly quickly, I think most of you are familiar the value of digital migration, radio frequency spectrum, which is really for mobile broadband.
then this committee would have overseen the set of manufacturing sector development strategy, estimates 2,500 jobs in the state, and more TV channels and so on. You want to know more about than I do. You know about the deadline for next June. And although we intended to launch in September 2008 and end in November 2011, if you go to slide 5, you will see then the Minister of Communication took to Cabinet the policy, and it was said that this is what digital migration will do, strengthen our capacity in the information and knowledge economy, reduce the digital divide, etc. Are you familiar with that? Then I'll go to the current issue that we still see in society. It's slide 7. I think you're familiar why the government has decided on a control system to protect its investment in custody, to ensure standards, to unscramble encrypted signals, stimulate the local industry, prevent it from being changed, allow for mass and unique messaging. And you will know in 2012, more than me, the then minister amended the DGM policy and she dropped the reference to encryption altogether. She softened the control system, but she retained the control system for conformance, so that's the general standard. The ECB World Court judgment, you'll remember the Swiss minister decided that Spendi should be responsible for the control system. ECB took it to court, the government court, and they decided that the free-to-air broadcasters should decide on who the vendor should be and how the system should be managed. Then you will know our legal opinion of the system to be slide 10. The lawyers we consulted on the ECB court judgment are clear. The government has a right to make policy on special content, so, but it cannot be prescriptive. Not least regards the supplier, the operator, the task to control, the how it should be managed. These decisions are made by the FTA broadcasters, my predecessor and I have made several attempts to get them to agree, and perhaps understandably, because of the high level market audiences, they can't agree. So in September, you put that process and reported on it, facilitated since settle the matter. Our initial proposal was to get the broadcasters to identify where they agree, where they disagree, and where they disagree, what can we do to facilitate and to settle the difference. Then we were going to bring the manufacturers to one control and the manufacturers to one control, bring them to a table and say, what can we do? And then bring the broadcasters and the manufacturers together to say, fine, now that you've arrived at consensus, can you propose policies we can do to amend the program digital migration policy? But unfortunately we couldn't go that far because the facilitators came out and said they can't do anything. Then between the middle of October and the 27th of November we consulted with all departments including DPI. And then these are the 12 criteria we used. They're in the public domain. We then decided, we asked whether it's possible to drop control altogether. We went to DCI, and they have got written documents if you want to see them. We established, you can't just do it, because if you change the SAB standard, and you will know more than me, it took 17 months in 2008 to change the standard. In 2012, it took 16 months to change the standard. We engaged the DCI, and at the minimum, it will take 6 months to provide that there's consensus amongst the parties. Now, there's a group. Emerging manufacturers, regular established manufacturers, to support control. There's also a group of emerging African entrepreneurs who oppose control. There's established manufacturers who want control, and some may not want control. So getting consensus is going to be tough. So that is the first problem. The second problem is if we drop control altogether, we can't determine how we're going to protect black emerging manufacturers, let alone the local electronic industry, because our market will be flooded by low-quality products, as happened in Mauritius, Tanzania, and so on. So, what was the third argument was, the broadcaster won't control or take a shot. It can't be prescriptive. It can't be have control or no control, the legal advice, but it must leave it open. Finally, the manufacturers will threaten to take us to court. On the other hand, there are others who threaten to take us to court. So we have to strike a win-win situation. There's no other way we could have managed this thing if we want to deliver on our deadline. So those are the 12 criteria, Chairperson. Inter-government subsidies will be fixed, re-spectrum, stimulate the local electronics industry, take some of the good interest, protect the interest of the SABC. We are accountable to the SABC and it's to us, the government. It's their interest that primarily should predominate. Our approach is to deal with the set of blocks in a manner
that poisons for this availability to outline both the pay TV commercial broadcast and the free to-air broadcast as well. To those products. Now, these tend to have the changes. Many of the things that I and Matthias Kasaburi wanted to carry the day, the cell phone does the same thing that the TV can do now. We use our cell phone, we recognize that the changes in the broadcasting sector, next to that. Mobile phones rather than televisions now use, reduce the extent of monopolization. We're the most concentrated media market in the world. We have to tackle monopoly. The governing parties, manifestos, it's public citizens are clear. But not in a way that any broadcaster can ride on the back of a subsidy. They must pay. The majority of broadcasters are opposed to the control system, which they take that into account, and then to reduce the cost of the successful legal action. These criteria are interlinked, we can't separate them. The point was set on table 17. Is the FED control matter related to broad issues of industrial policy? It's not simply a broadcasting issue. We have to take decisions on our own. We don't care industrial policy experts. So we decided, as we already explained, what we should do. And that's in the gazetted version that you have. So the hybrid model, where you can have controlled and no controlled signals in the same pocket. 15 countries have adopted the approach, and both of our southern African countries have been that. Zambia, Uganda, Botswana, Ethiopia, Seychelles, and Malawi, Nigeria, Namibia, Tanzania, Kenya, Malaysia, and Britain. The most recent example is Namibia, North, and middle of September. What are the financial implications? I draw your attention to DTI's points in 2024. Let me read it to you. The South African government, like most governments, has invested in a variety of ways for industrial returns. Governments employed a wide range of incentives, tax incentives and rebates, trade measures, and various things. These policies are to achieve a range of policy objectives and secure co-commitment to the private sector, inclusive of BBBE, and then support for enterprise development and competition in the domestic economy, competitive upgrading, 24, local election and supplier development. The procurement policies of government enshrined in the amended regulations of CCCFA, the Competitive Supply Development Program, and the National Industrial Participation Program, are designed to support the policy and its objectives. Now, various policies use up 7 billion rounds a year in intending localization. The manifesto of the majority party in our case, I think, it would be 10% localization. I have referred to the Sitoff Box Manufacturing Development Strategy, which encourages black emerging entrepreneurs, and we are utterly clear about that. Whatever the law says, we will abide by. We have to use this issue to create an indigenous African emerging electronic industry. 19 years beyond the democracy, almost 20 years. The economy must be regionalized efficiently. We must abide by the law of BBBE and whatever else to ensure that BBBE benefits. Exactly, are utterly and feasible to be clear about. We've heard the ECB board chairman. Our most recent senior council attendant on the amendment is that they are legally bound. Now, unfortunately, we cannot get agreement, as I explained to you earlier. So the negotiations, we are keeping it open for a while yet. We have covered that ground early in the morning. We really need help to get the parties together. We try and get to meet the chairs insisting, business leaders insisting, and politicians are, and we're giving one space of not 3 weeks or so to get the agreement. Finally, we're saying this isn't a national interest, a consensus. We don't think we should pass this to legislate this thing. We don't think we should become driven by policy or ideological issues. Especially I don't have any ideological or policy issues here. These were the policies in 2008 and 2012. We tried to facilitate this process. In any sense, the ministry has been an arbitrator bringing the issue forward and giving a proposal emerged from the facilitated report that these are options. One of them is we said, can we have a hybrid model to be allowed to vote? There is no intention to cut off anybody. There's never been intention since 2012. It's an old policy in 2008. Let's say, you must use this thing to cut off people who can't pay. We can't do it. It's unconstitutional. We can't have people up if they're not going to pay for their license. It doesn't have the intention since 2012 since my thesis became it. The court said they're necessary. We need a rule for a simple model or a set of control models. Don't have a false sense anyway. So, we are engaging with the parties. Our door remains open. We don't need to consent. We're not foolhardy. We don't want to end up in court.
So, you know, if in your individual capacity you can help in any way as members of the committee, please welcome your involvement. But repeating, let's not have to fill up the time. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let me start. Probably let me start by saying what I was supposed to do later. Welcome the new appointed CTG. Probably that's why some of them left here. They were teaching me and so they thought they are not important. They decided to go to the man. I don't know where are they. I've seen some of them teaching some more, so they left to the man. But most welcome and congratulations to your appointment. All the CTG, so you are thinking to be the CFO who have been recently appointed. I hope God to do that. Members, you have a letter from Honorable Chief, which I circulated in the morning, which I say you come back on if you think that you can do it tomorrow morning, that's fine. You can follow it if you want to finish the meeting tomorrow. I won't have any engagement with the representative of the CTC because your time is not long now, and together with the CTC. So, first thing tomorrow morning will be a question around the issue of the transformation. And members, how to review the letter from Honorable Shin tomorrow, or you want to talk about it now? Honorable Mogoto?
I don't think it would be really important for us to be with the issue that's out from the program. But as you have said, we don't have the time for us to throw my sharing with you tomorrow. Why not if there's a letter in this?
Thank you. I will take it that we'll consider it very much more from Honorable Chief. We can talk about ministry around it. And then we'll proceed from where we have taken questions from members around the issue of digital migration. I hope all members will see that the minutes for last week, the 11th, we have to deal with them tomorrow morning and then let's have any second question as per the presentation. Then from there, members, we will have another isolated item. We then deal with the presentation as presented by the minister and deal with it. Thank you very much, everyone. We send Hashem and see you tomorrow morning as part of my session. Honorable Minister, thank you very much. To yourself, the TG and everyone, and other things the members. I think working together we can do more. Thank you. We send a gentleman.